Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Center today. If you're a parent of a teenager, now referred to as the I generation, right? iPad, iPhone, iTunes. And here's one quote from a psychologist expert on teens today. Why today's super connected kids are growing up less rebellious, more tolerant, less happy, and completely unprepared for adulthood. We're here to help you today. My friend Dr. Kevin Lehman joins me. We're going to focus on how to communicate with teenagers, this I generation. See if we can unpack this and make some sense of it together. You ready? Let's get started.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, counselor and coach, husband and father, and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. And now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
Thank you much, Kurt. And by the way, we got the phone line open for you right now. Dr. Kevin Lehman's on the other line. He'll be joining me in a moment. If you have a question about your teenage son or daughter, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. 888-888-1717 is the number. Dr. Kevin Lehman joins me on the phone today. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Hey, you heard the open there. This generation is different. Let me share some things that I read about this generation and we've observed that makes them different than the X generation, even the millennials, and different than baby boomers. It's pretty interesting. It says that the I generation, these young folks that have been born basically in the late 90s and since 2000, have poor emotional health. Thanks to new media, they are more lonely, anxious, depressed, and undermining their own social skills as a result of so much texting and so on. They spend 5 to 6 hours a day texting, chatting, gaming, web surfing, streaming, sharing videos, and hanging out online. Experimental studies have shown, this is interesting, experimental studies show when they get these kids to shut off their technology and actually go outside for a walk, you know, to actually get into nature, they seem to be happier people. The researchers says that they spend less time with their friends. At the same time, their online content creates very unrealistic expectations. We see this, a lot of bullying that goes on, cyberbullying, and it's especially susceptible for young girls. And they don't want to grow up. Less hopeful, feel less control. That's all the downside. There's some good things. And by the way, not every teenager is like this. We understand that. Every generation, I remember when we were raising our teens, we were talking about this generation. Every generation has challenges. But it seems like, Kevin, this particular generation of teens, because they're so wired, they're so connected, and we're seeing increases in depression and suicide with this generation, the parents are facing some pretty unique things with their kids facing more loneliness, anxiety, lacking social skills, less hopeful. It puts some extra stress on the parents that are trying to raise this generation.
Yeah, I read recently the suicide rate among teenagers is up 170%. And when you think about it, what are teenagers today attached to? And basically, if you had just one word to fill in, what would that be, everybody?
Yeah.
My word would be appliances.
Yeah, electronics.
Yeah.
Yeah, wireless, internet.
So where does that get you connected with life and prepared for anything? And so every parent, every generation has their challenge, and clearly that's a challenge for today's mom and dad trying to rear kids.
Mm. And the other thing that's interesting in the research is that this, and by the way, we're generalizing, we know that, please, but generally this younger generation is more fragile, and they talk about the need for trigger warnings and safe spaces. And they made a comment here that employers and college administrators have complained about today's teens lacking preparation for adulthood, just being resilient, strong, tough, like past generations. I mean, you go back to the World War II generation coming out of World War II. I mean, it was a tough generation, and it feels like maybe the teens today are not being given the advantage, again, not all, but some, to develop some of the toughness needed, frankly, to live in a world that's pretty tough.
Well, and let's take that sensitive a step further and say that maybe these precious little teenagers have been coddled so much and attended to so much that they have a very unrealistic view of what life requires mm-hmm. of them. And so they get all these psychological ouches that come their way when reality hits them squarely between the eyes. And I think if you talk to any employer, you will hear that employer wail that it's hard to find young people just to do simple things you ask them to do. Mm. They're disengaged in many ways from people.
All right. Hey, listen, we're going to open the phone line. Maybe you are one in that generation. You want to share what you're learning and how you're bucking that trend. Maybe you're a parent or maybe you're a grandparent raising your teenagers and your grand teenagers, and you have a question or comment you'd like to weigh in on. We want to be here to be helpful. Intentional living is all about what do we do, and certainly as a Christian family, we want to make sure that we're teaching our children God's Word and seeing how it applies to their lives directly, and the power that God has, and setting examples, of course, is powerful as well. Come and join us with your question or comment, Talking Teens today, 888-888-1717 is the number, and Dr. Kevin Lehman joins me. Sarah called from Michigan with a comment. Welcome to the program. Tell us your story, Sarah.
I want to tell you how I am being intentional, and not just for today, but I'm trying to make it a life switch. I have a young son who is going to be a teenager, and I've seen changes in him, and I know sometimes you just have to sit down and just say, okay, this is because he's becoming a teenager, and that's what I'm doing. I'm being intentional because I'm listening more, and I am answering the questions on his level, and I am trying to be a better parent every single day. I take that time to tell him how much I love him every day, and I tell him that I'm proud of him every day. It has filled my heart with such wonderful blessings.
Hmm. What do you tell him when he doesn't do simple things you ask him to do?
Yeah, and Sarah's offline now. She's not on the phone. But
oh, okay.
I think she's pointing out the fact, though, that you need to sit down, you need to connect, especially in this these preteen period of time. And what are some things, Kevin, you've seen? Of course, your work now. I mean, with your the schools that you've developed, the charter schools that you've developed around the country. I mean, you're interacting daily with young families and young people growing up and seeing some of the challenges. What are the successful parents doing today that are making those relationships work at home?
Well, a couple of things. In the school setting, I think they're saying to the school, okay, we're going to support you. So that's important. If your kid's off in an organization, whether it's school or an athletic team or an activity, whatever, I think the smart parent says to those in leadership, okay, he's yours. We're gonna back the program, whatever it might be. But, you know, I'm more convinced than ever that kids measure up, Randy, to the expectations we give them.
Mm-hmm.
And that remains solid through the generations. And I'm old enough to have seen a few generations come up and go and mature. And I think that holds true, that the expectations that we put on kids, they basically will measure up to, as long as we put those beliefs to them in a positive way. Mm. And that's not always easy.
No, it's not. And we talk about expectations. And today, I think with a generation growing up, and every generation this is true, parents want to kind of walk that fine line, have a good relationship with their kids, and they want to be effective parent and with it parents and communicating well with their kids. But at the same time, kids have to learn today, every generation this is true, not only how to be resilient, but also a sense of accountability, that they have to be held accountable and learn that life is not always just coming their way. There's going to be times it's going to be tough. There's going to be times that people are going to say things that are going to offend them. There's not always going to be safe spaces in life. I mean, we don't live in safe spaces all the time. Learning how to get along with people, communicate with people, look people in the eye. That's one of the things I've heard from people I've worked with in the business community, that sometimes the younger generation is not as good at communicating one-on-one because they're so used to the connecting socially, where those of us who are baby boomers, that's what I am, you know, not only do we use technology, but we would prefer picking up the phone and talking to someone or seeing them face to face. And that tends to be different. All right, we've got a lot of calls coming in we're going to get to. Dr. Kevin Lehman joining me today. We're talking about communicating with this I generation teenagers today and doing it in a way that honors God and is effective in parenting. You can join us. 888-1717. We'll be right back.
If you don't have plans for October 10th through the 16th, you do now.
Hey, it's Dr. Randy Carlson. We have the opportunity to share a life-changing event together. Our first president, George Washington, reminded us of the importance of understanding our nation's founding. And on the Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour, we'll experience Washington's home, his life, and the inspiration of his words. And that's just one of the many stops we'll experience together on this trip. I don't have time now to share every detail of this once-in-a-lifetime tour, but you can find out all of the information at theintentionallife.com. During our Washington, D.C. tour, the words of Psalm 33:1 will come to life. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
You won't believe all that's in store during Intentional Living's 7-day Washington, D.C. tour, October 10th through the 16th. Get specifics and register now at theintentionallife.com.
Sometimes talking to a teenager is like talking to a wall. It makes you just want to avoid doing it all together. How do you talk to teens?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
When you've got something important to tell your teen, timing is everything. Wait until he's had some food before you talk. Then give him a heads up. Kids respond better when they can wrap their minds around things ahead of time. Just something simple like, after dinner, let's talk about your room for 5 minutes. When he's had a chance to think about it, you're less likely to get that blank stare. It also helps if you can get rid of any strong emotions you have. Share one or two concrete statements and then let him respond. When you partner with your teen to navigate the hard areas, it makes you both feel great. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
All right, thank you much. Hey, listen, we're talking about teenagers today. Dr. Kevin Lehman is on the phone line with me today. How to communicate with this I generation, kids that are growing up with all the I's, you know, iPhones, iPads, iTunes, and of course, connected, well connected. And how do we as parents, by the way, the research is interesting. They are connected with their parents, and they, generally speaking, feel less entitled, less narcissistic, overconfident than like past generations, and apparently ready to work hard. I think every generation eventually grows up and finds its place. And what an opportunity we have as parents and grandparents and churches and the community to help offer a hope and a future to this young generation, to help them build a godly self-confidence, to teach them scripture, to share with them, teach them social skills, to be engaged in this new generation. Very exciting time. We got callers who want to join us. Kevin, let me go to Priscilla, who's joining us live from New Mexico with a question. Hey, Priscilla.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Go right ahead. What's your question?
Well, I'm pretty firm and strict with the screen time my daughter has. She's 15 when she's with me.
Uh-huh.
However, summertime, she always goes with her dad, and he is very lenient. I mean, he works a full-time job, and let's just say all the restrictions I have on my end, they go out the window. They go out the window when she's with her dad.
So daughter's with you, and then when with dad, different rules when it comes to screen time.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's your question?
My question is, well, it's twofold. How can I encourage my daughter, me being way over here and him being over there, how can I encourage her to still implement those boundaries even when she's just not with me, but she can still apply those to her life.
And how old is she, Priscilla?
She's 15.
All right. So your question is, how do you get her to share and keep those same values and rules when she's not with you? I think that's sort of a universal question, Kevin. Over the years, we've worked with parents. Ultimately, you know, the kids will follow the rules when they're at home, but then when they're out or they're with other parent or they're out with their friends, they come up with their own rule book.
Well, but part of the problem, and I think every parent has to understand this, we've helped create that because we didn't get along as husband and wife, okay? And we created a situation where we're either separated or divorced. And the two most important people in 16-year-old lives are giving her different signals and different expectations. So to hear that a child has a hard time transposing those values that are taught at one home to another is not a surprise.
Yeah. So we're taking a 15-year-old brain and trying to help assume that they're going to be able to, she's going to be able to process all of that. Why is dad this and mom that? And I have to then figure out which one I'm going to follow. So it's not what you're saying, Kevin, is not realistic to expect that a 15-year-old who's got a mom saying, hey, these are the rules in our house, and dad saying these are the rules in our house, is going to be able to sort all that out and make sense of it.
But I think if mom would say to a teenager, listen, I know this is confusing, because over at dad's, you know, anything goes, and as you know, here, everything doesn't go. And I know that's difficult to go from one situation to another, but I want you to know that that really is my expectation for you, to be able to turn off and turn on. Is that difficult? Yes. Is it very difficult? Yes. Yeah. Can you do it? I think you can with God's help.
All right, so clear expectations, expressing it, as we talk here about declaring your intention. My intention is that we, even though you're not here, that my prayer is that you'll see that this wisdom is for you and for your life. I can't be there. You're going to make decisions in life when I'm not around, but the expectation is pretty clear. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Priscilla, for your call. Let's go to Chris with a question. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's your question today?
My question is this. I have a 15-year-old stepson. We have three older girls and then one younger girl, a blended family, and we have illicit drug use among the 15-year-old. He's been arrested 10 times at least, has slipped out of his ankle bracelet, currently doing it, using drugs, and does not go to school. As a step-parent, it's very hard to say anything about it, even for his natural sister to say anything to my wife about it. She is very upset. He is currently living with his dad. He's been there for about a year now. His dad runs a good tight ship as well. Obviously, as a parent, you don't want your child to get in trouble when they do things. You don't want to call the police on them, but until you have to. But what we're dealing with now is, you know, the judge here has let him go. He was on ankle monitoring, let him go. He slipped out of it for about a month and a half, got caught, was put in juvenile detention, and then a week later, the judge let him back out on home monitoring again, and he slipped right out of it again. And except now he's a little wiser to it. He's leaving it at the house and just walking around doing the same thing he's been doing with his friends.
Yeah,
everyone's treading on water and walking on glass because they don't want to offend anybody, any of the parents.
Yeah, are you and your wife on the same page?
You know, we are. I'm retired law enforcement, but you know, now as a pastor, it's a little different where we're trying to get things together where we know what we have to do, we know the legalities of things, and we're on the same page with that. But the child himself being 15 and being arrested multiple times and just not caring, fighting with the police even, there's just no boundaries.
Mm.
We didn't teach our kids that. We have three older girls that are in college. The younger one is, she's 10, he's 15, but there's no problems with the other kids.
Yeah, and I think that
we've had expectations. We've all gone to college, just graduate, but we've had expectations for him, and we, you know, he doesn't even care about the technology stuff. He'd sell it for drugs.
Yeah, well, as you know, I mean, Chris, you've been in law enforcement. You know the effect that has. You've seen it on the streets, and when it gets a hold of somebody, and a 15-year-old kid, it gets a hold of them. We've seen it in up close and personal in lives of people. Just it can destroy. And I think part of it, we didn't even talk, Chris, but with Chris, Kevin, about the fact that I think he said there were four daughters and one son, that sometimes you get one member in a family that sort of controls the whole family. In other words, it becomes overpowering and everything is focused on that glaring siren of the problem of that one child, which becomes a family problem.
Yeah, well, obviously the system is broken, but I'd be curious as to what your take is, since you're retired law enforcement, of just simply your take on what's happened. It seems to me like permissiveness reigns within our judicial system, and we have no problem giving warning after warning after warning. I mean, take a look at anybody's rap sheet, and you'll see it's a mile long before anything's really done. And the kids figure it out.
I had a really good friend of mine who was a judge, and he actually said it's the certainty of punishment that deters crime, not the threat of punishment. And that's the problem is when you constantly threaten someone, they find it like crying wolf. And they just turn a blind eye to it.
Well, you take that into parenting. I mean, you take a little 3-year-old. I mean, and if you say, hey, if you continue to do that, I'm going to take your toy away, and then you warn them, and then you warn them, and then you warn them again, and then you yell, and then you take it away, but not really. Pretty soon, if that's done over many many years, a child begins to learn there is no consequence for behavior.
It's
and
so
of course,
frustrating, gentlemen. I mean, I've even had the police literally in my face about it, about things that I've try to do with discipline. We have video cameras on our house, not to keep people out, to keep people in, you know, when he was living with us.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating that the system really does hurt parents, and they constrain us. And I'm talking, we don't have to beat the children. That's not what I'm talking about. It's to put these rules in, and it's by taking cell phones from them. We were actually told by DES that, or CPS, that you cannot take a cell phone from a child. That's ridiculous. I bought that. I paid for that.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's a system. You know, there's clearly issues in the system. And I think for parents who are listening today, Kevin, to be practical, you got to stay on the same page. Mom and dad, you got to stay on the same page. You got to have a game plan put together. And unfortunately, sometimes it does involve outside forces. The law enforcement and the judicial system sometimes gets involved, like Chris is saying, in their family. And it gets very complicated and very difficult.
Yeah, I think if husband and wife, and I realize you're stepdad, if you're on the same page, I think you make the commitment to each other that we're going to do what's right for our family, including this wayward child, okay? On the other hand, I'm going to take some safeguards. As a parent, I'm going to make sure I have an umbrella policy. I'm going to protect my legal backside, because the irony is that you are responsible for damage and hurts that this kid could do to other people. And then you wait until that kid's of age and the world awaits him, and only the good Lord himself knows what's going to happen at that point. But as many prodigal will tell you, they had to hit bottom before they turned around. And when drugs are in question, you know, drugs rule.
Yeah. Terrible.
And until the kid shakes that monster, everybody around that kid's going to end up paying for it, including society in general.
And let me just add, Chris, for you and parents who like you, you know, your frustration's coming through. We're trying to do everything, and you feel like the system is failing you, and you feel like, you know, your child could do better. And that hurts, too. And I think our natural response is to get angry. When we see our children making stupid decisions, people you love making stupid decisions. And I would just say for every person listening, if God is in your life, if you have Christ in your life, there's a point where we turn that, you know, we turn that frustration to the humbleness of prayer on our knees before God and saying, God, this is your 15-year-old. We've been here and we're going to continue to do what we need to do and the best we can for this child, but he's yours, and we give him back to you. We give him to you. We ask you to build a hedge of protection around that child, and also a hedge of thorns around him, that he'll find no pleasure in his sin, no pleasure in his behavior. That's really a prayer. It's a prayer. We have asked for that prayer over, oh, I don't know, 20 years of doing this, of reminding parents that at the end of the day, You can't control everything that your kids do, but you can ask God to build a hedge of protection for a lifetime and thorns that would remind them that as they back up into sin, they're gonna feel the pain. And as a result, hopefully be able to change the direction in their life. All right. Hey, listen, we've just started. We got callers pending. We're going to continue here after the program ends live. We're on live right now, and we're going to continue to record for a later date. So you're welcome to try to get through if you got a question today. 888-888-1717. So if you can hang on, Kevin, we're going to be back and talk some more, and we'll record that for later. So how's that sound?
Great.
All right. Just hang on. Dr. Kevin Lehman's my guest today. We're talking about the power of parenting when we, in love and respect and accountability, try to communicate with our kids. And we didn't even talk about some of the communication things. How do we communicate with our kids, our teenagers especially? We'll get to that on the recorded one coming up. We got enough time here. I think we're about out of time. Let me just say a couple of things as we wrap up the program today. I want to say thanks to those of you who are praying for us and supporting us. When we get a flood of calls like this today, I know that every day parents around the country and around the world are struggling. We got couples who are struggling to keep their marriages together. Satan rejoices when he sees families struggle, sees families fail. And let me just say thanks to those of you who are strong in your faith and strong in the belief that if we live intentionally, it makes a difference in our life. I can't think of a topic more important than one like today that needs intentional living as an umbrella. To be intentional as a mom and a dad, to know who you are, to know who you are in Christ, and then to live that out intentionally every day. And I want to say thanks to those of you who are financially, practically supporting the ministry. We're listener supported. If you're not a member, come and join us today. And when you do, if you become a monthly member of the Intentional Living family today, either going online or calling the number I'm going to give, we're going to send you a brand new teaching that I just recorded called Three Keys to a Thriving Marriage. And then each and every month, you'll receive a brand new teaching in the mail from me right to your home as a way of saying thank you for your support. Your monthly support matters. Come and join us today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or you can call during West Coast business hours. Give us a call at 888-888-1717 and press number 4 to talk to one of our staff. You know, the power of one thing is what intentional living rests on. Here it is, the power of one thing today. I said it earlier. I'd encourage you as a parent, starting today, to begin to pray for your child every morning when you get up. God, protect them, build a hedge of protection around them, a hedge of thorns if they need that, and give me the grace and confidence to stand firm as a parent and to communicate with my child, but to be the parent that you intend for me to be. That's the power of one thing done intentionally. We'll see you next time. We'll be back with more intentional living.